if you could say that again.
My name is Tessie Naranjo.
Could you kind of introduce yourself, what you do?
Okay. I'm co-director of the Northern Pueblos Institute here at the Northern New Mexico College in Española.
And actually, can I have you introduce yourself as well?
Okay, yeah, I realize that you're going to have to cut a lot out, so it doesn't matter if we bang things and all that. So, my name is Sue Ellen Jacobs, and I'm co-director with Tessie at the Northern Pueblos Institute at Northern New Mexico College. And we're both faculty in the Pueblo Indian Studies degree program, too.
So I wanted to start out by asking about land and how important land is to Native people. And if there's anything that you want to add from my description of the series, feel free to...
You didn't say you were Santa Clara.
Okay. The question is, how important is land to Native people? And I was born at Santa Clara Pueblo, here in northern New Mexico, and come from a large family of 10 brothers and sisters, and a very, very strong extended family unit. And my father was a great farmer and a great hunter. In the wintertime, he spent much of his time in the mountains getting deer for his family. We would have common to the family that he would bring down 3 deer for the winter. And so then once he brought the deer down, it was up to my mother in particular, but then we would help my mother with the drying of the meat, the storing of the meat. And so that was what kept his large family surviving throughout the winter. Not only did he hunt, but he also was an expert fisher person. So, again, he would go up to Santa Clara Pueblo, up to the canyons, and fish and get trout. And so it was very common for us to have trout for breakfast, trout for lunch, trout for dinner, and have that with potatoes and anything else that my mother could find to complement the meat that was being served. I say all of this to say that living off the land when we were growing up, I was growing up in the early 40s, was how we kept our family, my mother and family, how they kept us together and fed. We lived seasonally, cyclically, meaning that my great-grandmother, who was alive at that time, she was born in the mid-1860s, and so she was the one who raised my mother, and then in turn, my mother then taught us what she knew from my great-grandmother. And so that living off of the land seasonally and knowing about the cycles of the seasons was something that was very common for us in our family unit. My mother was and my great grandmother was an herbalist, and so she needed help by the time we were 5, 6, 7 years old to go and gather plants, seasonal plants, with her. So it wasn't something that we especially looked forward to. It got us out, but as we were picking out the different plants, with my mother, with my sisters, my brothers, and my great-grandmother, we began to start learning about the uses of these different plants. And we knew about the seasons of the cycles of the seasons. And so as a result of that, in my older age now, I have a seasoned experience based on my experience as a child. So I love the idea of living off the land. I love the process that it takes to live off the land, what you have to do to carry yourself throughout the seasons. For example, there's this plant that we call hua in our and in Tewa, and hua is something that you can, in fact, right at this time, as I'm driving on the highway, I just look around, is it time for hua to be up? Because sure as anything, what I wanted to do, even if I don't need to, because I can go to Safeway, I want to go and pick hua. And what you do with hua, and I imagine what my great-grandmother did was would pick as much hua, which is Rocky Mountain bee plant, pick as much of that as she could, because she had to cook it first. After she cooked it, she had to dry it and make pancakes out of it. And so these dried pancakes would then be preserved for the winter months, so that we would have hua that was rehydrated when she needed to have that to feed her family. So land and what happens on the land is something that I have a lot of memories about. I love the fact that the land is to be looked at, and that the Pueblo people modeled who they are by looking at the land. We, in our communities, we our model is that feminine model, meaning we look at the land, and because it nourishes us in our social organization, in our religious activities, it is always about looking at the land and having the land as our model, and having the land as a very important, I don't want to call it element, it's something other than element. The land is something that is our model. It nourishes us. And so in that reciprocal relationship that we have with the land, it is about respecting the land. It is about honoring the land. It is about a commitment to all that the land is and all that it offers us, because of that reciprocity that my mother, my father, my great-grandmother, and her mother, and her mother before them, all of them, and look, listen to me, I'm talking about the females, the lineage of the females in our family, and I just have a tendency to do that because they are the very major influences in my life.
But then may I ask this? What is the word for earth?
The word for earth is Nang-o-chukujo.
Okay. And what in how would you say that in English?
How you would say Nang-o-chukujo in English is unripe earth, O woman.
And then what is the Tewa word for people besides Tewa?
The word for the earth is Nung. The word for us is Nung.
So living so close to that understanding and appreciation as you do, it's hard to remember that we start with the language as a way of forming our concepts. And as long as the language can remain there, and children keep asking, what is that we are again? What is that down there again? And if they make that connection, we are the earth. We are the earth. The earth is us. So when you were talking about responsibility, I was thinking about other cultural traditions that believe they have a responsibility endowed, given to them by a creator who's told them to take charge of the earth and manage it in ways that will help with reproduction. We start with a very strong Judeo-Christian tradition that separates people into categories, but also I'm trying to get at the notion that we are not the same as the earth. There may be dust to dust in that tradition. We come from dust, we become dust. But that's not the same as saying throughout your life or having a worldview that says, I am the earth is me, which I find so profound in the Tewa language and belief system. Doesn't mean you can't do the work with the land to plant the corn, the squash, the beans. Work with the land.
What I like about the land and the earth and us thoughts is this idea or this value of relationships, because when you live so closely thinking about the land as a very conscious matter, then the idea and the valuing of being in relationship is very basic.
So it extends what you were saying about your grandmother and your great-grandmother, the female lineage that you were talking about. And well, you said, listen to me, I'm talking about the female line, but that line is also the earth. What I just heard you say is that you are in relationship with that entity as well as all the entities that are related to that earth. So that gives another kind of orientation toward your dad's hunting, fishing, farming.
What I like about the concept of being in relationship with the earth is not only the earth, but also everything that makes up the universe. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of the clouds. The clouds are so ever-present in here in our state, so that in just a matter of moving your head from downward to upward, you see these wonderful billowing of the clouds and the movement of the clouds, and then you start thinking about how they also are in relationship with the humans that occupy the land. And so this kind of relationship and this belief structure that we've framed, that my ancestors have framed, is just so wonderful, because it's all about connections. Land to sky, then also the wind and the movement and the changing of the seasons, all of that, it's all about the flowing and the flow of life, and that we are in this wonderful, wonderful movement, and we are about being in relationship with all things that we call our Opa. Opa is the universe.